Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes. That was just New Isis off the unreleased album from Mountain Animation.
Released.
It's released?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Never mind. Totally released and available by Mountain Animation here, and they'll be playing live at Snacky Tunes. Powerful jam to start the show.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. I'm Darren Bresnitz. I'm one half of your host. Greg is still out west. I want to welcome back to the show, Carter Adams, special guest host.
Good to be here. Love the pizza.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm great.
Pizza's coming in. Did we get the beer that you wanted?
It's lovely beer.
Awesome.
I'm actually more excited about some of the lovely wines that we have.
Yes. Jack on break. Can we get a corkscrew? Yeah, he's laughing. We have Marianne from Sud de France Festival. Welcome back.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. That's good night, though.
It's a good evening, you know, it's definitely aperitif time right now.
So yeah.
I guess it's more appropriate than bonjour.
Bon
okay.
Après-midi. Huh? Bon après-midi.
Voilà, aussi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, this is why Carter's here.
We'll do this in English.
How have you been? I haven't seen you for a little bit.
Yes, super busy organizing the Sud de France Festival that's coming up really soon in something like 6 weeks. And that's going to be 3 weeks of uninterrupted festivities throughout the city.
It's really impressive.
It's really impressive. We're going to get into the lineup, but for those who have not listened to your previous episode, can you give a little history of the Sud de France Festival and the wines that you represent?
Yes, absolutely. We organize, that's the sixth festival we organize in New York. We began in 2009, and we are trying to bring together the food, the wines, and the culture of the region. It's a very comprehensive festival. We do all sorts of events to educate people about the wines from the Languedoc-Roussillon and this beautiful southern French region.
For those who've never been to that region, describe the beauty of it.
It's very Mediterranean. I always feel actually more Mediterranean than I feel French.
You personally?
Yeah, actually, yeah. I mean, Mediterranean comes first, then French, then European. Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's like a sun-bathed, and it's by the sea. There's a lot of culture there. The wine has been made there for 2,000 years. So, you know, it is quite a tradition in the region. And the lifestyle is laid back and beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's between, so it is located between the border with Spain and part of Provence is in our area too, to give a little bit more info.
Now, does that affect the way that the wine is made at all in any style, since it's a little bit more Mediterranean than just straight French?
It's very much French. You know, the techniques are French, and again, wine has been made for 2,000 years there. But we share a lot with Spain, for example. There are varieties that grow in Spain, like Garnacha, which is called Grenache in French. So that's definitely, you know, like we share a lot with the region of Penedès, for example. Those Catalan wines resemble very much the wines.
Always found there's been a lot more similarity between the Languedoc-Roussillon and then some of the wines of Spain than there is between like the Languedoc-Roussillon and then like your Loire Valley reds or Burgundy.
Absolutely.
It's very Mediterranean.
Sun-kissed.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the more famous wines that have come out of the region?
So very famous brands would be Mas de Domas Gassac, for example, but it's more the appellation that are like bringing the region to the knowledge of the general public, and appellations like Pic Saint-Loup or appellations like Pic Poule de Pinet, those are beginning to make a name for themselves and be organized by.
And what people don't really recognize isn't it that Languedoc-Roussillon is the largest winemaking region in France, if not in Europe?
It is. 30% of the French wine is produced in the Languedoc-Roussillon region.
Yeah, that's and people huge. People wouldn't realize that. When you think of French wine, you think of champagne or whatever, but you know, more and more you're seeing more wines from the Languedoc-Roussillon.
Indeed.
But, you know, one of the things that people might say, at least me as a wine drinker, is that Languedoc-Roussillon, the wines aren't necessarily as accessible. They're very heavy. They're sun-kissed. But you see all these great new growers, you know, like people like Benjamin Taillandier and everybody else who's coming. I was at Millésime Bio, which is one of the biggest. It's like the South by Southwest of wine.
In Montpellier.
It's amazing. Like, you just go and there's so many producers. You know, I had to say that after a while, just, you know, like, some of the wines are amazing. They're all, you know, organic. You have very small producers. You have good-sized producers. Sometimes at the end of the day, you were like, oh, wow. Like, I've just, like, you know, it's pretty intense.
Yeah,
you're doing a lot of drinking, a lot of spitting. There's a lot of really amazing wines.
Now, what's the percentage of it? Is it it's not the like the 10 or 11% of like the more?
Yeah, it's about 25%, and it's growing actually.
Percentage of alcohol.
Oh, they're high alcohol wines.
It depends. It depends, because there are some appellation like Limoux that have wines that are made in regions that are on plateau at 400 meters of altitude, and those are really crisp and high in acidity. They are, so the Crémant de Limoux, for example, a sparkling wine is made there from Chardonnay, Mosaic grapes. And those wines are really, really crisp. Also, they are changing, you know, a little bit their techniques, and they're making the wines less, you know, like less high
alcohol. I had some really amazing wines that were a lot, these natural producers who are working without sulfur or any sort of fertilization, who are, you know, realizing that, I mean, it's kind of almost a climate change thing, too. You know, with the temperatures getting higher, you get these grapes and the wines that just have so much more alcohol, and you're like, well, this is not what people want as much. You know, you want wine that you can enjoy and not get super happy on. And, you know, have
exactly.
With food.
And this Minerva that I'm holding in my hand, Le Régal du Loup, so Minerva appellation imported by Genève and François, for example, is a Syrah based red. But the alcohol is not that high because again, you know, like it's grown in altitude. So it's also about like choosing the parcels with the microclimates. And getting there.
So, and what is the relationship between the region and New York City?
So we opened this office in 2009. Mm-hmm. Time flies.
Wow.
And, yes. And
5 years?
Yes, wow. More than 5 years actually, and we've been working with a lot of the food and wine people in the city and also throughout the states to make the Languedoc-Roussillon region more well known. And the festival is actually the perfect occasion for us to bring that to the general audience. And we work with a lot of, I'm going to start name dropping.
You're going to start name dropping?
Yeah, can I?
Okay, watch your feet, people.
So we work with the best chefs in the city in during the festival, for example. Ignacio Matos from Estella, Paul Liebrand from The Elm, Jeremiah Stone and Fabian van Oost from Contra, Max and Eli Sussman at the Cleveland. We will work with Camille Becerra from Navy, Laurent Calcotour from Atrium in Dumbo. I'm familiar with this this restaurant. So it's a it's a lot of excitement, and those are the people we want to be close to because they spread the word, and we're, you know, still up and coming in people imaginary, and that's a good place to be working with those fantastic chefs.
It's amazing. Well, we're gonna take a quick musical break, and then we're gonna talk about what you're gonna be doing with them and some of the downright incredible programming you have.
Thank you.
Oh, man. It's been a long time since I got caught with a mouthful of pizza.
Come on, man.
That's not pretty to see.
Amateur hour.
Amateur hour. Well, there's all this wine and all this pizza.
The wine is great.
The wine is great. So, Marion, what are we drinking? What's the...
So it's Château Lancire. It's a rosé from the Pic Saint-Loup. And it's really good, really affordable. It's a blend of Syrah, Grenache, and Cinsault. So a very, a Rhône blend.
It's like summer.
Oh, man.
It's so good. You're like, today is one of the first days. You're like, I want some rosé.
Yeah.
I want some pizza. Like,
I see Jack pouring some up.
So nice.
Yeah. There he is. So let's talk about the opening party. So it's a 3-week festival, June 9th through June 30th. And I will 100% be at this opening night.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Queen of the Hearts, Pier 78. Just tell people what it is.
So I like to call it the floating cassoulet party.
For people who don't know what cassoulet is, what is?
So cassoulet is
the best of France.
Yeah, it's a dish made of tarbé, beans, sausage, duck confit, but there are different recipes. Some of the key cities for cassoulet are Carcassonne and Castelnaudary. In Languedoc-Roussillon. So we asked Paul Liebrandt from the Elm to make his interpretation of the cassoulet dish. The recipe hasn't been released yet, but we're very excited. So that cassoulet will be served to the 450 guests that are going to come and party with us on this paddle boat, the Queen of Hearts, that's going to sail around Manhattan in East River and the Hudson River. And on the music side, we'll have the fabulous Slavic Sal Party, this Balkanic group that really threw it down.
Yeah.
And that's going to be followed by a DJ set by Nancy Wang.
Love Nancy.
Fantastic. Yeah, so we're really excited. That's going to be like a...
It's going to be really fun.
Best boat party. You have to be there.
Oh, don't worry. I will absolutely be there, yeah. Yeah. I'm actually going to take the next day off from work.
Okay.
I'm planning on it.
Is it a school
now.
Night?
It's safe.
It's a school night?
It's a Monday night.
Oh, yeah. I might take...
You know what the next night is? It's our barbecue blowout with Bunker.
Then I'm just going to go through Wednesday.
Oh, fantastic.
Wednesday off, and I'll go to work on Thursday.
Summer food hangs. Always a good time.
It's the best part of New York.
It's the best part. So you were working with some of the favorite chefs, and it's funny. We're actually doing our first barbecue blowout in May with the Stella, and you're leading also with the Stella as well.
Yes, yes.
Ignacio is just so awesome.
It's fantastic, and he's cooking hors les murs, so not in the restaurant, at one of the events that we're organizing, the soft opening party of the festival on June 8th. That's going to be on the water table, another boat, but a small one, 40 seats. We're going to take the aperitif with a cocktail prepared.
Is that the new boat that's out of Greenpoint? Like
yes.
The restored older boat? I've seen it.
Absolutely.
It looks absolutely beautiful.
Gorgeous.
So nice.
It's absolutely gorgeous. There is the restaurant room, so to say.
Yeah.
And then you can open the window. So you're like, you're eating in front of, the Manhattan skyline.
Wow.
And there is the upper deck. On the upper deck, we'll have the Avalon Jazz Band play and sing.
Wow.
And we'll have this amazing cocktail that's muscat and blanquette based, prepared by Michael Klein, who's the mixologist at Estella, and then this three-course meal that Ignacio has invented, because all those recipes that the chef are going to cook at the numerous events that we're organizing are exclusive.
Right.
They are their interpretation of the Languedoc-Roussillon traditional dishes, and they've never been on the menu of any of those restaurants.
Now, if you're just like somebody who's listening today, can you go to these things? Are there tickets for sale?
Absolutely.
So how do you get those?
All the tickets will be on sale on May 1st. You just have to go to our website, suddefrancefestival.com, and you'll be taken to the Ticketlib platform, and you can purchase those tickets. There, the dinners are really a great bargain, I think.
They're amazing.
Because the dinner range from, it's like from $90 to $125,
but that includes... 65.
Actually, they didn't get their like a license. So we have to. We cancel the bunker event. Unfortunately, it's been replaced by Navy. We're happy to work
with
them.
That place looks amazing. I've walked by a few times. I've not gone in, but that looks like France.
Yes,
you look in there, you're like, this is France.
And we chose it because she's cooking with fishes, and we really want to put the Mediterranean up front this year. We want to remind people that we're Mediterranean, we live by the sea, we eat a lot of fish. So, honestly,
if you bought tickets to all these events, it would also be a tour of all the new hotspots in New York and Brooklyn of where to eat.
Exactly.
And for cheaper.
So I didn't mention Shen Rambolt cooking himself for us at Reinhardt at the White Hotel. But this dinner will be $110, and it's one amuse-bouche, three dishes, all the pairings, the tip and the tax and the concert. And we're doing this in the patio of the White Hotel. So we'll have this communal table, 50 guests, and that's going to be beautiful.
That's absolutely beautiful.
That's an incredible.
Let's talk about dinner at the Cleveland with two of my favorite brothers, the Sussman brothers.
Yes.
Shout out to Max and Eli, both respectively killing it at the Cleveland and then at Mile and Brooklyn. What are they going to be doing for you?
So they rarely cook together in public. Already this is an event, and they are going to cook dishes from the Languedoc-Roussillon region. Let me take my chit-chit.
Cleveland is so good.
It's so good.
Like, I've been once. I'll probably actually go tonight after my showing at Guy Fieri's. But we're going to go to the Cleveland. Apparently, it's an extremely popular Sunday night wine hangout now. A lot of the importers and chefs and everybody go, and I've been. The wine list is amazing, affordable, amazing. So good.
It's so good.
And they have this amazing patio, so beautiful.
Yeah.
Ivy-covered patio. It's going to be like the best hangout place for the summer.
Yeah, very good.
So, the Sussman brothers are offering saucisson sec, olive, and roquefort tart with chimichurri as an amuse-bouche for our dinner.
Wow.
Spring beans with anchovy vinaigrette and purple potatoes. Octopus with apricots and blood sausage, and peaches and cream puff.
That's so good, and that's so awesome delicious. Because, like, just hearing it, that's such a wonderful combination of everything that's Brooklyn and everything that's France. Like, I mean, it's not just straight France like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's
like
their influence. That sounds amazing.
That's totally their influence, you know, paired with the ingredients and the dishes that we prepare back there in Languedoc-Roussillon. And also, Paul Shaked with Zev Ravine came up with a wonderful, wonderful wine list. There will be a Blanc de Blanc by Jean-Louis Denoy Brut, so that's for the sparkling. There will be the Domaine La Petite Baigneuse, the Clofantine, Cuvée Courtiole, that's a Fougère, and more amazing wines.
Those wines are amazing. All of them are so good.
I mean,
good.
This whole thing is just sort of the premier wine and food festival going on in New York. I mean, it's the real deal.
Thank you.
I mean, but this is, if you really want to experience real food and real wine...
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's well curated, if I may say so myself.
Who curated it?
We worked with Anna Polanski.
Never heard of her.
And with all those wonderful people, you know, like Thomas Carter, who's, you know, like
from
a
Estella.
Big wine star from Estella. We worked with, Zev Ravine. They all have, like, their word to say about, you know, the food and the pairings.
Those are all people who are very just, like, fun to hang out with.
Yeah.
It's not... That's the thing. Like, this is not stuffy.
No, it's not.
It's 4-star quality, but the atmosphere is so laid back. You could come, you know, if you wore a t-shirt, like, it's cool.
Yeah.
You're not going to have to get a jacket at the door. Like, this is fun. Like, we're going to sit at the
patio.
It's
haute cuisine and grand vin, but in a very laid back ambience.
It's basically
ambience.
The best dinner party you could ever go to.
Yeah, except for there's 8 of them.
Yeah.
I want to talk about one more thing before we let you go. The Sud de France annual sommelier competition.
Oh yes,
I know it's industry only, but it's a pretty high accolade.
Yeah, absolutely. We work with the American Sommelier on this in partnership, and we have, like, every year amazing sommelier that participate in the competition. Last year, Victoria James won, and she went to the Languedoc-Roussillon region for a week, discovering our wonderful region, and she loved it. And we invite all the people who work in the hospitality industry, not only sommelier, to participate. So there are, you know, like now about like 6 weeks when people can review the Languedoc-Roussillon and, you know, just like take a chance and try to win that trip. Yeah, that's gonna be cool. And there is one last thing I'd like to talk about.
Yeah.
It's new. It's like the new event for our festival. We're doing a block party.
Ooh.
We're doing a block party.
Tell me more.
Tell me more about that.
So that's going to be on 74th Street between 5th and Madison.
Like,
and
actually shutting down the block party.
Yes, absolutely. And we're going to install a table that's going to be long as the block from 5th to Madison Avenue. It's going to be a picnic table.
Are you serious?
Everybody will be able to buy a little portion of this beautiful brandade that Chef Laurent Calcotour from Atrium will cook. And Rouski, this really cute, good cookie from Languedoc-Roussillon, and just have lunch between 12 and 5. That's on June 22nd. And
there will be concerts.
There will be a lot of other stuff happening.
I just
want
to see how they manage to shut down that street.
Oh, it's about permits.
Yeah, I can imagine that's a very big deal.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. It's going to be very visual.
That just shows
very
how hard you have worked.
Yeah.
To the level of involvement and complication of this festival, but it sounds like you guys have executed it really well.
Actually, there is one more thing. One last thing.
Okay.
The bus tours. We are taking people from Benoit Bistro, the bistro from Alain Ducasse, and they eat the cassoulet that Philippe Bertino is preparing. He's the ambassador to the Universal Academy of Cassoulet in New York. People meet there, drink a glass of wine also. Then we hope on the double-decker bus, we go down Fifth Avenue with a brass band, the Lucky Chops brass band, playing on the double-decker bus. That's crazy. We make a first stop at Beaumarchais, and then we hop on the bus again. More music. We cross the Manhattan Bridge again, you know, at sunset. Beautiful.
Wow.
And we land for, like, you know, the last part of the party at Battery Harris on Frost Street in Williamsburg.
Wow. Well, okay, so now I just got to make a wish list of what I can come to.
All right.
We'll talk afterwards. And one last time, what's the website if people want to go and get tickets, and when does everything go on sale?
So May 1st, tickets will be on sale, and that's suddefrancefestival.com, suddefrance.com. I guess it's going to be on your website.
It'll be on our website. It'll be up everything, and I'm sure. Sure, promotable. Thank you so much.
Great.
We're going to do another musical break. Then we have Mountain Animation here live in studio. man. Every time, every spring comes around, I love that song. Shout out to Greg and Lucy on the West Coast, and Caroline and Lucy's whole family out there.
Everybody's listening.
Angela's
at home listening. We're all
shout out.
Yeah.
Summertime. Gather around the radio, just like they did back in the day. I want to welcome to the show Mountain Animation. What's up, guys? How
hey,
you doing?
Hey. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. And again, my apologies. The album is out and climbing the charts, as they used to say. I don't know if anyone says climbing the charts anymore. Do you guys want to introduce yourself?
I'm Zach.
I'm Scott.
How did you... Well, I know that my brother... came across you guys busking in the subway.
That's actually how we met. So,
yes,
yeah,
that's how you guys met. And I thank you guys for following up on the email and coming on the show.
Sure, it's a pleasure to be here.
How did you two guys meet?
We met in the subway, actually. So, well, yeah, all of this is happening.
How did you two meet, though?
Oh, in the
subway.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the L train was broken. Imagine that. So
it was broken today, actually. I got here a lot later than I thought I would.
Wow.
Spooky.
Broken L train. What are the chances? So the L train was broken.
Yeah, so I went to... I just hit my head on a dead animal. I went to the Delancey Street stop and Scott was there playing violin, and I had a banjo, so we quickly accidentally formed a sort of a bluegrass-sounding band and then realized that that's not what we wanted to do at all, and went back to, you know, loud, progressive, avant-garde rock with banjos and violins.
Wow, what's your background? Are you guys from New York? Or
I've been here for about 15 years. So.
Okay.
That counts.
Yeah, that's New York.
I was trying like figure like what's the is it 8 years, is it 7 years, and like you just you're a New Yorker at that point.
Yeah, or it's every other second you are and aren't. Because, yeah, you're just like, you know, you almost get like an old New York accent, and you're like, I don't understand this. I just want to go back to wherever I came
Sweden,
from, which I don't remember.
Yeah,
because I don't have enough room in my head.
It's crazy because sometimes you know buskers are I don't want to say territorial because I know there's a community, but for you guys to. Like, wind up jamming together on the subway is a pretty awesome story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I had never been to that territory, so...
Yeah.
So, yeah, Scott had been there a couple times, so... And you after just, a brief fisticuffs...
You had to square off.
Yeah.
I like the cut of your jib and the way you swing that banjo, sir. And how about you? How long have you been in New York?
Oh, 3 years.
And where are you coming from?
The Midwest, kind of North Dakota and Colorado.
Okay. Okay.
So like blank slate, essentially. I was not a person. Yeah. Where? Who knows?
Over there.
The land of open spaces.
Yeah.
So then you didn't want to do bluegrass, you have this new sound, and how did that sort of, because the music you play is not exactly what I would think would be coming out of the instruments. That you have.
Oh, thank you.
Which is exciting, because I always love to see like instruments in the sound repurposed into a different genre. How did you guys sort of stumble upon it, or how did it evolve?
Oh, that's such a good question.
Well,
I think we just started buying amps.
Yeah.
And when we got louder and started playing louder shows, we realized that we didn't want to sound
like... Wait, so you run your banjo... Your violin through amps, and
it,
so, oh wow,
yeah, yeah. Sounds like a.
And that's not a super common thing, is it?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I mean,
I don't think I've really ever seen a banjo through.
Yeah, I've never seen a banjo through an amp. And I mean, I grew up in North Georgia, so I've seen a lot of banjos and dulcimers and everything like that. But I never saw it, like amplified.
It's relatively new technology. It's normally like little microphones on banjos.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Awesome.
And I tried everything. They all just sounded, you know, inadequate for. A big stage. So.
Awesome.
Well, you guys want to play a song? You guys want to
love
rip or something?
Yeah.
What do you want to play up first?
Survey Survive.
Awesome. Okay. Here we go. Mountain Animation live on Snacky Tunes. Thank you.
box in a cold. Everybody knows. Shout it for a minute at least. Survey, survive. How we gonna stay alive? Mason's tired. Keep the walls up for a while. You may feel protection might be a veneer or a souvenir. And hey, say with your ring.
Fixing his microphone. Oh man,
I've seen a number of performances on your show, and I've listened to a lot more, but I don't know if I've seen that energy.
No, that's big. That's big on a Sunday afternoon too.
I could call around the corner.
Oh man, that is dude, that's great.
So how does it work? How do you guys write?
Yeah,
I mean, like, what's the process?
I had some old songs that we sort of amped up because Scott can like. Has a way of making your sound.
Yeah, he definitely takes
really
it to that
fast.
Next level.
Yeah.
And then other ones, we play in the subway sometimes and just, you know, kick out a jam using the walls, and you get to, you know, kind of write in front of, you know, 1,000 people in an hour. Like, you'll see, like, get all this inspiration and stuff like that.
How much is freestyle jam in the subways, and how much is, you know, you got the new album, so you're, like, practicing songs for the next show, or is there a mix?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, the perfect... Perfect mix, right?
I mean, you're not. Are you singing much in the subway, though?
Yeah, totally singing. Yeah.
But
yeah,
I mean, how does that? You know, you don't have a. Do you have amps in the subway as well?
Oh no, just a louder voice.
Just a louder voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And it, you know, get the walls down there.
Yeah.
Make some noise.
So let's talk about the new album.
Okay.
Big ol' epic bunch of tunes. Sounds awesome. Sounds great. What was the writing process on that? A lot of. Songs coming from your subway sessions and then just growing, or just going to the studio just with a bunch of fresh ideas and put something together?
Well, we call it a Tesseract Flapjack Tesseract Flashback for several reasons, but one of them was that there's a couple of tunes that I wrote a long time ago. You know, we just, you know, took in a new direction or several new directions. And then some songs that it seemed like were kind of like from the future or something, you know, like of our next sound coming. And then some stuff from recent times that we've been working on, like tour half the time. And
you guys tour a lot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
How does the touring work? Do you guys just book yourselves, or get in the van and go, or do you guys
even need a van? I mean, it's just the two of you, right?
Yeah, we just drive a little two door.
Get a Prius.
A little smart car across
yeah,
America.
Totally, pick up as many people as possible and have the clown car effect at the shows.
Yeah.
I mean, what network? Where do you guys play? Like, what are some of the? What's your normal circuit?
Normal circuit is like jet out to the Rockies and then go up and down the Rockies and up and down the West Coast. And this year we're gonna finally get to the South.
Oh, nice.
Project. And
nice.
Then, Northeast has always been great. We just keep on meeting more and more wonderful people.
But you book the shows yourselves and everything. Oh, yeah. There's no agent. You just call up your network of friends and people that are in the community.
Us. Totally. Call me.
Just call us and
just call you.
We'll call you back.
Have car, have instruments, we'll play.
Mm-hmm. When you guys are I don't know, you guys have a vibe where and a feeling that like you guys will play and could jam with anyone. I feel like there's some magical mystery with you guys where just like you could be in a town and like a show would just happen.
Yeah, we played at a metal bar outside of Chicago on our last tour.
Yeah, that in the dead awesome. Of winter. That was amazing.
Really? What was that?
How did that work out?
It was great because our friend said, "Oh, I got this great spot in this little winter festival indoors for you, and it's, you know, there's not going to be a back line of amps there because it's in between two acoustic acts." And we showed up, and the one before was definitely one of the hardest bands I've ever seen.
Acoustic?
Hardcore punk.
So they had thrashing. They had amps.
Oh yeah, they had stacks.
Yeah,
and big muscles, and they were awesome. Dude, my favorite bands, actually.
The Kreutzer Sonata.
Yeah, they're amazing.
They're fantastic.
That's awesome. And is it just the two of you? Do you guys bring anyone with you on the road?
We brought the boss on the last one, our friend Jessie. She's our boss.
Nicknamed the boss?
Yeah, because she's got the iPod.
Oh, yeah,
she
yeah.
She just kills it. Like.
And when you guys are on the road, awesome. are you guys cooking a lot, or are you guys just like...
It's really fun on this last one because we took a rice cooker with a little steamer.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
To it. So just like rice on the bottom, tempeh on top, and...
two guys and a rice cooker.
Yeah, it's like
America.
The cheapest tour.
I mean,
was,
but how does it work? Do you like pull into a gas station? You're like, do you guys have like somewhere we can plug in and like make our meal?
Oh, we would cook
or...
it at the hotel in the morning, or whatever, and then just keep it in the trunk.
Yeah, we did that. The first time we did it was like in the middle of Nebraska, pulled into a gas station where, of course, you know, no matter what you eat, there's probably not food for you.
No.
They don't have tempeh.
No, they're not.
It's not gonna happen.
I'm sorry, sir. What sort of alternate wheat glutens do you have?
Yeah.
I mean, that's those rice cookers are so versatile. I mean, it's a pressure cooker. It's mm-hmm. They're so good.
Yeah.
They're so good. And then, you know, you get just have a bottle of sriracha and maybe some soy sauce.
Oh,
and,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, some of those amino acids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rice
yeah.
and beans.
Yeah.
Totally done.
You guys want to play another song?
Love to.
Okay, what we got? What do we have?
What do we have?
Want to do Way Too Much?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
All right, Way Too Much by Mountain Animation live here on Snacky Tune.
Precarious.
Thank you.
man. So awesome.
Thank you.
So amazing. Heating it up in here.
That we definitely have to turn on the AC.
It's on. It's not working. Summer's coming up. What's in store? What's on tour?
Big old West. But this time we're going to avoid Death Valley in the summer, and we're going to avoid Chicago in the winter. We've got it down. We're going to be good birds.
It builds character.
It builds character. Yeah, we have enough character in Melted Instruments.
I mean, those... I'll take that heat over Chicago winter.
That's 130 degrees.
No way. I will definitely take Chicago or a New York winter, to be honest.
Yeah. It's real bad driving through there.
That sucks, man. I don't like sweating.
Yeah. 120 at night. Yeah. It's too...
Cool. See you in Chicago.
Yeah. So you guys are just going to hop in the two-door smart car, drive all around, hit the rocks, things like that. And the album. Where can people get the album?
Oh, It's on our Bandcamp.
Man, shout out to Bandcamp.
Bandcamp is the best!
Seriously, like, talk about a game changer of a website. Like, really just cutting it out, all that red tape bullshit, just getting the album and the music out to the people.
Yes.
And the fact that they do once a week free albums for certain bands is just, it's so awesome as well.
Yeah, the whole system's great.
The whole system's great. Can I ask, do you guys do merch? Do you guys do t-shirts and things like that? I feel...
We're working on a whole package that's coming out with the...
I'm sorry, man. That boar's head. Like, I know. But you guys are working on stuff?
Yeah,
we
have
CDs. And we're working on getting some vinyl and tapes and t-shirts. That'll come out middle of the summer.
Is it crazy to me that tapes are back?
Oh, that's so great.
Cool. I know. I mean, it's awesome, but they've definitely had... the like revitalization, but I don't have a tape player anymore.
Yeah,
everybody in LA is just buying a tape player for their car, you know.
Yeah, I know, but because like I know there's all like the limited like edition tapes and things like that, like legit cassette tapes.
Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, because you can't have a record player in Los Angeles because you're always in your car, so
well, and they definitely don't make record players for cars anymore.
Not yet,
I mean, not yet, not yet. All right, cool.
My family once had an 8-track player in their car.
Yeah, that'd be really funny. I don't think that technology to record onto 8-tracks anymore exists.
No, I think that's gone.
That's done.
That'd be really funny if they were doing 8-track. Like bands would be like, oh yeah, we got like a new 8-track coming out. It's pretty cool.
Laserdisc player for the kids in the back, so they can see.
Yeah, laserdisc player for the kids, 8-track for the parents. Summer's on fire. Well, so we're gonna fit one more song, but I want to thank all of our special guests. Thank you, Carter, for coming.
Of course.
Marianne, thank you so much.
Good pleasure.
Elaine, thank you so much. I know that you were a little late. Just shout out. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. Everything good with you?
Yeah, wine is awesome.
Yes. Well, you can thank Marianne for that. Thank you so much for that. We'll have you back on. We'll figure some out sometime. And shout out to everybody who's listening. We're back next week with another show. I'm sure it's going to be fun. And I don't want to jinx it, but I feel like summer... Well, the rosé is getting to me a little bit, so I feel like the summer is here. Sue de France Festival coming out, Mountain Animation on tour, get the album. The album's great.
Awesome. I just really want to say thanks to the guys at the Headroom. This is our first gig since we released the album. They recorded it. They did awesome. Thanks, Kyle and Joe. You're the best.
Yeah, shout out to the producers. Awesome. Shout out to Heritage, Jack, Aaron, everybody.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Darren. It's always a pleasure to be here. It's such a fantastic show.
Oh, you're making me blush.
No, no.
My cheeks are a shade of rosé. And for everybody who wants to come out, we're doing our barbecue blowouts again in May with Estella, and Turing Machine will be DJing. It's a BBQ Blowout May 2014.eventbrite.com, or just... search barbecue blowout.
No, I would say nobody is going to remember that.
No one's going to remember that.
But come to the blowout anyway. Come to the blowout. They're awesome.
God, if we still updated our website, I'd say go there, but we haven't written a post in maybe 3 years. Anyway, or just hit us at, I don't know, just hit Heritage Radio Network and we'll get all the info because they're one of the sponsors. Thank you so much. One last song. What do you got for us?
We got Bring 'Em Home, which is written by my cat Nimbus. She plays the bass. She's taking a nap right now.
Oh.
So she couldn't be with us.
Okay, here we go. Live on Snacky Tunes. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you in a week.
Jackie.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.